Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chess, and I've got another Dog Days of Podcasting episode for you. I've got a nutty chat with my good friend, Amber.
Hey, everybody.
And Amber is from a defunct, pod-faded, lost-to-Mevio podcast called Lavender Lane.
Yes.
Which is so sad. I want you to bring it back, though.
I know. We would love to bring it back. My schedule just got really demanding, and so we kind of stopped doing it. And then it just became like way too long between episodes. So we'd planned to redo a new podcast this year. And again, time got away from us. So hopefully next year we'll start our like TV review podcast, which is our passion.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And you've been very busy with a bunch of other things, including being in a band and doing a lot of performances this past year, right?
Yeah, actually just joined a second band, so now I'm in two.
Oh, now both you and Paul are in two bands.
Yeah. Yeah, so life can get a little crazy.
Why don't you tell us about those bands?
So our main band, both of us, is kind of a pop punk, but not really, more of like a 90s inspired band called Wishlist. And they're on all the social media, usually as Wishlist Rock. And so that's fronted by me, and both guitarists are female. One is Paula, my wife. And then we have a bassist and a drummer, obviously. And then my other band, which hasn't performed yet, is called Moon Cursor. And they are it's considered a stoner rock band, kind of like Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep. No, I'm quite familiar with stoner rock. We were just talking about it on another episode where I was talking with Matt Nightingale from the radio show Run for Your Life. And he was saying how at least one song every episode has to be some stoner rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But that band was actually ready to perform our very first show after working really hard. It's a totally new genre for me. And I just randomly met these guys off Craigslist. So it was really just weird how it came about, just looking for something different. And our drummer broke his arm. Well, he tore his bicep.
Ouch.
Yeah. So he's out for like 6 months. So we've been trying to find a replacement in the interim so we can play. But right now it's on hold. So
I'm sure Paula can tell you that finding drummers is probably one of the hardest roles to fill in a band.
If I could do it all over again, I would not be a singer and I would have become a drummer. You always have a band. Always.
It's true. I remember so many times it's like, well, we need a new drummer. And then it would just take so long to get a new drummer. It's pretty insane. And the funny thing is there's a lot of people that want to be drummers, but not everyone can be a drummer.
It takes a special kind of person and a special kind of talent to be able to do it. It's hard. I think I can play one song, and that's the That Thing You Do song from that movie. Song. Yep. I can play the beginning to that, like, no problem. I own it. And that's it.
And drumming is very physically demanding.
Yeah.
Most of the time you'll see a drummer and like they're taking their clothes off, they're wearing shorts, they don't want to wear anything because they're so hot, and they are the sweatiest, grossest member of the band because they are just flailing around and just putting so much energy into it. I actually knew one drummer that like ripped his pectoral muscles.
Oh my gosh.
The ligament that was connecting, and he couldn't drum for like a year because it needed to heal because of the repeated smashing on the drums. And so it's very physically demanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think it's like you have to have a special mentality because you're using all of your limbs simultaneously, but completely different. I don't know how you do it. Both your feet, both your hands, all doing something different. And you have to keep it all straight. And then remember it all from song to song. I think you have to be a secret genius.
Yeah. And like your one hand has one pattern, another hand has another pattern, and then your foot has another pattern. So you've got to be able to, you know, it's a lot more complicated than walking and chewing gum at the same time. You've got to be doing all of these different things. And if you've ever tried to multitask, like just this morning I was running late, and so I'm brushing my teeth and trying to brush my hair at the same time. And I'm like, all right, I'm starting to get pretty good at this. I'm not too bad. But imagine doing that and then doing something with your foot. I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's like the pat your head.
Yes, pat your head and rub thing. Your tummy.
Yeah, that's a good like practice for being a drummer, I guess.
When I was a kid, I wanted to learn the drums, and my mom just said, no way, which is good because now looking at it, I can tell, like, I just don't have the mindset in order to do all those different, like, I can multitask. If I'm not multitasking, I'm not focused because of the way that my ADD works. If I'm doing more than one thing at a time, I can really focus. If I'm only doing one thing at a time, I'm easily distracted because there's always something in my brain ready to be distracted. Whereas if it's occupied with something else, I can do what I need to do, which is why I'm always listening to podcasts or music or something else. I always have to have something in my ears. I can't just sit there and do one task. But I don't think that would translate into drumming. I think I would still have a big difficulty. Plus the fact that I've got no rhythm whatsoever. Anyone who's seen me dance knows I have no rhythm.
You definitely need natural rhythm to be a drummer. And I think just physical strength, you have to carry all that equipment everywhere. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to be a drummer just because I don't want to take all that equipment with me.
Yeah, that is the different thing. It's like the drummer always needs to have like an SUV or at least a really big car. Whereas, you know, a guitarist can just hop in the back of someone's sedan.
Yeah, I mean, I carry my little tiny microphone and a little tiny leather bag, and that's all I need to bring.
Yeah, good. You're good to go.
Yeah, I don't have to worry.
There were shows where I had in my little Saturn, I had all of the band except for the drummer. And then the drummer came in his Suburban, you know?
Right. They have to. Yeah. Too much stuff.
Too much stuff. So how long have you been performing music? Because you've been in a band since I met you. I met you when Paula first joined that band that you were in. So how long have you been performing?
I have been performing probably since I was in the womb. but recently, my mother lovingly found a video of my very first solo when I was in second grade, I think, and sent it to Paula for her birthday. Aww. So that's that was a little scary. But so I guess since then, I used to do a lot of, school plays or school performances in elementary school, and I would get like the solo. And then in high school, I did theater. So I was in several plays throughout middle and high school. But I didn't do music. I didn't actually think I could sing. Mm-hmm. I was really self-conscious and I didn't think I was very good. And so I finally started a band for some reason in my garage when I was in high school. And we never played a show ever, but we practiced a lot in the garage. And it wasn't until I moved away and went to college when I was about 19 that somebody I met kind of pushed me to join a real band and actually start performing. And then, you know, you get good feedback about being really good. And then you just want to keep doing it. Then you get addicted. So seriously performing since I was 19, and I'm in my 30s now. So it's been a good long chunk of my life, about half my life.
That's pretty awesome to be able to know your passion from such a young age. I mean, for me, I'm an artist and I've wanted to be an artist my whole life. You know, I mean, for the longest time growing up, it was, well, you can't actually be an artist, but, you know, that can always be your hobby. Like, it was always put down that way. And it wasn't until I was in high school and my high school had a lot of art classes. Like we were able to take concentrations and I took a concentration in art, and the teachers that we had, one was a world renowned sculptor. One was, had made a career in the commercial industry and then became a teacher. And then we had a couple other ones, but like we had big names, teaching us. And it wasn't until I was in high school and, that commercial artist, Mrs. Jones, is like, you can totally make a career out of art.
Yes.
And she encouraged me and, showed me my path. And I was like, this is amazing. I mean, yes, there is a big difference between what I do for me and what I do for money, but being able to say, and most people say, I have no idea what I want to do with my life, but having known my whole life, this is what I want. There's something about that just, it's very comforting.
I agree. I wish I could make singing like a full-time job. And when I was 19 and 20, it was paying my bills. I had a semi-successful band on the West Coast called You Tell Us, and we did a national tour, and we kind of sold out shows in the area that we lived in. And so we were making enough money to kind of pay some of our bills, but that quickly ended, and I hit reality, and I'm having a hard time thinking I can make a career out of it, but it's a really fun hobby. And if anything ever happens, like, I would jump at the chance to quit my day job and sing full time or act full time. I really miss acting a lot too. So
I have a hard time though saying something like that is a hobby, because I know a lot of creatives, a lot of like authors and musicians who, while they still need a day job, I wouldn't call that passion a hobby. Like, okay, there's something that you do, and you know, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Sorry. There's something you do to pay the rent, and there's something you do to feed your soul.
You're right.
And you're right. I feel like, you know, I can say this for you and for Paula, because I know you guys so well, that you guys really need music to feed that soul. And when there have been times that you guys haven't been in a band, you guys have not been very happy.
Yeah, I mean, you talked to us when we were living in LA, and oh my gosh, didn't know anybody. So we weren't making music. We were just, I mean, we were making our covers on YouTube, which we had some good success with. But yeah, you know, we weren't in a band then, and we were both just miserable. We just needed it so badly. So the second we moved back to New York, we jumped at the chance to start a band again right away.
Absolutely.
So you're right. You're right. Yeah, we needed to pay the rent on our soul.
Exactly. Exactly. And I find it so funny that you say that you were self-conscious about your voice, because I love your voice. And speaking of the After How project, which was all of your covers that you did when you were in LA, your version of This Addiction, I think, is so much better than Alkaline Trio's original. And I think it's your voice that's selling it for me.
Oh, thank you so much. I got some not so kind comments on that one, because I think my voice is so different from Alkaline Trio's version.
Well, I remember you did a Miley Cyrus song.
And that, and the one we did for you, All the yeah. Things She Said.
Oh, I love that. I love that one so much.
That one, I think, has like 25,000 views or something on YouTube. It's our most successful video ever.
Yay. And I inspired yeah. that.
You did. You did. So we're still doing that, by the way. Every now and then we perform somewhere, but we haven't put up a video in so long. We have to do that.
You need more. You need to put more of them out.
Yeah.
But I remember I was showing my niece, who was in high school at the time, and she's like, but I don't understand. That's not what the song sounds like. And I think the problem that people are having with the cover, you know, it's so different from Alkaline Trio, I don't like it, is they don't understand it's not a sound-alike cover.
You right, know? Right.
There is a whole level of cover out there that has nothing to do with sound-alike. And I really don't, I'm not into sound-alike covers. If I wanted it to sound like the original song, I'd listen to the original song.
Yeah, that's my thing too. Whenever we do a cover or a band I'm in does a cover, I don't want it to sound exactly like the original, because we're never going to be as good as that one. Or, you know, someone always finds something different. Plus, I like when female artists sing male artist songs, yes, and vice versa, because you get a totally different perspective on it.
I agree completely. It's not exactly a cover, but it's like a different version. On one of my post CDs, and I don't remember the name which one it is, but, and I can't even remember the name of the song. I'm so horrible, but you'll probably know it. There's a bonus track on it. All right. So the original song is, oh, it's the one with like fast, slow, fast, fast, slow, fast, slow. Ah, they're driving. Anyway, the main song that everybody has heard is her singing. And then there's her singing like kind of in the background, and there's a guy narrating it as if he's sitting in the passenger seat of the car during that song. And oh, it just like blows my mind. It's so amazing. I wonder if I've got it on my computer. Maybe I can actually look it up.
I have to find that, because
Uh-oh, you cut out. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay, you have to find that because you...
I used to love Poe. I haven't listened to her in forever.
Oh, I love it so much. Let's see. I'm just going to look through my playlist here. Let's see if I have it on here.
Searching for the song, searching for the song.
It's not Fingertips. I'm not sure. I don't think I have it on here, actually. Oh, well.
Someone listening is screaming the song name at the microphone.
Probably. And the thing that when I'm talking to tech about it, I'm always like, you know the song. The longest unzipping of my life is one of the lines from the male version. And he's like, oh, yes, that one. I've got, like, I think probably almost every Poe song up to a certain point. And then I'm if they've put out recent stuff, I probably don't have it, but I absolutely love them so much.
Yeah.
They're just so fantastic.
I agree.
So thank you for joining me today. This was a lot of fun. I miss chatting with you.
I miss it too.
It's so much fun. And you need to come back on the podcast. You've been on before and we need to get you back on again.
Anytime. Since I don't have my own, I can be a guest whenever you like.
You're so funny. You say anytime. Meanwhile, aren't you like working full time and a student and all this other stuff?
Yeah, my own freelance business and full-time job, full-time student. But that's all almost over. Full-time student's almost done.
Oh, when do you graduate?
In May.
Oh, yay. Excellent.
Yay. Oh. Finally done being the oldest person in college classes.
Oh, I don't know about that.
not all of them, but a good majority.
When I was in school, we had at least every class there was somebody who was coming to school after they had retired or, you know, were much later in life. And I always looked at them, I'm like, that is really cool. And there were some that were just there auditing classes, but there were people that were coming back because they had always wanted to get a degree and now they could. And yeah. I always said to myself, you know what? That'll probably be me. I'll be retired and just taking classes.
I get lucky in that a lot of times they don't realize how old I am because I have like a baby face. So that's good.
Yeah. So, actually, all right. So before I turn off, I've got to ask you this question. Being a mature student, do you find that you get any different treatment from teachers or professors rather, because they expect more from you, or maybe they expect different things from you, maybe because you've got life experience, or maybe they treat you differently because they know that you're working full time or anything like that?
It depends. Some of the professors really have no idea how old I am, or they don't equate the picture that's on the roster with me because my picture looks terrible and looks nothing like me. It looks like I'm 50 and then you see me and I look nothing like it. But the professors that do know that I work full time and that I'm older, they do seem to expect a little bit more from me. And some of them ask me to contribute to class more, especially since I'm a marketing specialization and I work in marketing. So I can provide some sort of real world examples. And I had one specific professor last semester who asked me to TA for her this semester simply because of that. She knows my experience and I get really great grades. And so she thought I'd be a good addition. So yeah, so it depends on the professor, but most of the time, yes.
That's really neat. My university experience is very different from most people's university experience because I went to Molloy College and there's not a lot of people that go there. It's a very small private school. It's great. And that's why I went there, because I was looking for smaller class sizes. But you go to a university where there's like thousands of students. Like, I graduated with 324 people. I'm sure you'll be graduating with many thousands.
Yeah, I have no idea how big it is.
And so for us, TAs were always like graduate students. So that's really impressive to me to hear that you were asked to be a TA.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. It's a class I had a lot of fun in last semester, and hopefully I can be helpful because I've had some really terrible TAs and I've had some really great ones. So always desire to be a good help to other students.
That's great. Well, again, thank you for joining us. Please tell people where they can find you. If you've got a Bandcamp page, if your Facebook pages, Twitter, YouTube, everything, just let them all know where they can find you, because you've got lots of great projects always going on.
Thanks. So my personal Twitter, which is where I'm starting to spend most of my time away from Facebook, is ARB_123. Very easy to remember. My Instagram is where I'm also spending a lot of time. So my personal Instagram is @mixtapemusings. And you can see lots of pictures of my cats and pictures of performing. And then I also have a health and fitness Instagram, so I don't bore all of my regular friends who don't care that I'm running races. And that is @morethanrunning. Wishlist, you can find them on pretty much everywhere, Bandcamp, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's pretty much everywhere as Wishlist Rock. I think YouTube might be Wishlist Rock New York. So we have a show this Friday at a place called Evolution on Long Island. And then Saturday we're playing in Rhode Island. It's a private party, so nobody can really go, but it's going to be really fun. And Moon Cursor has a Facebook page. It's just at Moon Cursor. But they, you know, we're not really doing a lot yet, but soon. So if you like the page and you like stoner rock, they'll be with female singer. It'll be coming.
Neat. And if people want to go for your covers, they can go to YouTube after How, right?
No, actually it's YouTube. Oh. It's, I know YouTube like changed and wouldn't let me change my URL. So it's youtube.com/drawntofire18.
Oh, right. That's what it is.
I know it's a pain. You can also go to Facebook. It's facebook.com/afterhow. And YouTube links are there. So that might be easier than trying to remember that big, giant, long URL.
Yeah, it is. I forgot about the whole Drawn to Fire thing. Gosh, we're old.
I know. I know. That's like my email address like 8 million years ago that I haven't used since I had Hotmail.
That's the email address you had when I met you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Everybody stay cool. Bye.
Hi, this is Hugh, the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast. Twice a month, we present the best short fiction of all genres, thought-provoking interviews, and other diverse entertainments. You can find us online at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com or search for us on iTunes. Some people say that short fiction is going the way of the buffalo. Come join us, won't you?
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.